Happy Mother's Day. 快乐母亲节。I must be fair to the Mandarin congregation by speaking Mandarin. Huh? We can't always speak English. We must speak the language of our brothers and sisters. So good to be speaking on Mother's Day. You all look very good. It's wonderful to be here. Well, I have entitled my sermon today as Motherhood, a Color Palette. That's why we've got canvases and paintbrushes and everything here. And I thought to illustrate this title, how good it will be to invite people to come and have a splash. And so I've invited Welna, I've invited Ashwell and Kendra to come and paint for you a picture of motherhood. So let's get them up first. Please welcome them. This is my dream location or my dream spot, you know, where you can have art in the church. But Welna has set it up so beautifully. It's amazing. Yeah, take a seat. Anywhere. Yep, okay. And four teens in Salt and Light last week painted their pieces, and they will be showing their pieces later on with the children's church. I'm very pleased that Welna, Ashwell, and Kendra, and the other teens are willing to give it a go on Mother's Day to add color to the scene here, and also to add color to your life and add color to the canvases. Yeah. I thought it is also so good, and this is in discussion with Welna, that there is music. You know, you art, music, the Word of God. Oh my, this is amazing. So I've asked Alison to come. Alison, where are you? Oh, are you there already? Yeah, Alison will be playing music for us today as we paint and as we share the Word of God. And may the Word of God find great root in your heart this morning. So let's pray and ask the Lord to bless our time together. Father, we are so thankful. You are so creative, and you have made all of us creative in you to show off the splendor of the mighty King. And so today we welcome you, Holy Spirit. Come, empower words, empower ears, empower hands, empower our spirit to bring out, oh God, that gem that you want us to have in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Ooh, okay. That's so lovely. You know, at the birth of your first child and thereafter at the adoption or you foster children or even as the role of a spiritual mother, you have received from our Creator God a color palette. Not necessarily a color palette that our artists are using, but a color palette of love and skills and resources and strength and creativity in order to serve the needs of your children. Today, even though my message is targeted to mothers, I want to tell you that I am also speaking to men, I'm also speaking to mothers, I'm also speaking to single mothers, I'm also speaking to those who have no children, that we all have worth in the sight of God. God doesn't just specially put aside the mothers and say, you have worth, and then neglect the rest. All of us have worth. But today, as I speak to mothers, you know where my heart is, that you have worth. And you've got a color palette on your own, strength and resources to serve the needs of your community. But this is the paradox mothers face, right? On one hand, you look at your children are your world. You look at their eyes and they speak to you like, wow, there's so much love in their eyes, and they mediate the grandeur of God. You saw the creation of God in the eyes and in the faces of your children. It's amazing. But on the other hand, your children may also be the ones that test your limit as a good mother, isn't it? On a not so good day, you open up the scroll of your heart and it reads, what were you thinking of when you wanted to have children? on a bad day. Good days is like, wow, God, you are grand in this child. And then you squinted on the fine print of your heart, and it says, full-time work with no pay. I want to say to you, mothers, you know, at times it can be really challenging. Of course, motherhood, even though it's a color palette, is challenging. But I want to say that you have embarked on a worthwhile journey. And I hear God saying to you, mothers, raise your hands. Can I see your hands? That's great. I hear God saying to you, thank you, mothers, for accepting my assignment for you. You are my bold, brave, and beautiful women and mothers for this generation. Your love and your sacrifice are worthy, and you are worth far more than rubies, as what Pastor Aaron just read to you in Proverbs 31:10. You are worth far more than gemstones. And Proverbs 31, I've never ever preached from Proverbs 31. I think it's a great privilege after 30, 40 years that I want to embark on this worthwhile journey, not because I have arrived at perfection, but because, wow, there is so much that the Bible talks about the worth of a woman and the worth of a mother in Proverbs 31. And first of all, I want to say to you, mothers, you are God worthy. Yes, you are worthy of God because you choose to believe in Him, and because God allows you to think that you are worthy of Him. God allows it. God gives you permission. You are worthy of God. You know, it's not who you are, it's whose you are. It's who you belong to. And you belong to God, mothers. You belong to God. You are His. And God says you are worthy of Him. And I'm speaking to all as well. You are so worthy of God. And today on Mother's Day, because of the love of God, know that you are good enough. You are good enough. You are good enough. And you have worth. You know, your worth must not be centered on the wrong things. Your worth must be centered on a compass that points you to the right direction. Of course, these days, mothers, I know we can take direction from a lot of places. ChatGPT, AI, your experiences, your upbringing, your friends, your children even. All that is good if all that points you in a good direction and increase your worth. I'm speaking to the other people as well. ChatGPT is good, AI is good, all these Google things are good, knowledge is good, but they must point you in the right direction and increase your worth, not degrade you or make you feel less worthy. From the start, we need to see ourselves from the clearest lenses of worthiness. Otherwise, we will develop a false self, a blurry image of ourselves, a fuzzy idea of who we are. You see, many things in our world can form the emotional program of happiness. Many things in the world can bring us happiness. Maybe we are only happy when our kids can perform really well like others do. Or maybe when we buy the next new thing or the next most expensive thing on the website. Or maybe when we travel to faraway places, eat like a queen. Or you dream of being someone else and having what they have. You know, wouldn't it be good to have what the other person have? You know, we have got all this programming going on in our emotions and in our brain. But when things don't happen as we expect, we come crashing down. It makes us guilty when our kids couldn't perform. Could it be me? Is it me? Have I not worked hard enough? Or maybe we feel inadequate that we couldn't afford the finer things of life. How come people can afford so many things? How come I can't? I feel inadequate. Or I feel shame when I feel I'm nowhere compared to my peers. So we realize that this chase does not give us the happiness that is long-lasting and sustaining. And Proverbs 31 tells us That the reason why it's not long-lasting and not sustaining is because it does not feed your inner self, which is of great worth in God's sight. We are looking at it, it's actually not in Proverbs, it's found in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 to 4. But in Proverbs, it says, it's a charm that is deceptive and a beauty that is fleeting. If we only focus on those things I just mentioned, if we only chase those things that are transient and not permanent, then that is a charm. It's very charming, but it's deceptive. It's beautiful, but it's fleeting. It's transient. It's temporary. You know, the clearest vision of ourselves, the clearest lenses of worthiness comes from the kind words of the Lord. Mothers, I want you to really hear. Only the Lord can help you believe that you are worthy and that you belong. Only the Lord can grant you your true self. And God starts with the internals. Because in 1 Peter 3, 3 to 4, he says, he cares about the unfading beauty of your gentle and quiet spirit. God loves it. God loves your spirit. Mothers, God notices your spirit. God loves your spirit. And God doesn't just love your spirit and uses it and look at it and say, wow, that's an exhibition of good spirit. God nourishes and validates you with his friendship. That's what the Bible tells us. He's our friend and he wants to nourish our inner beauty. He does not expect you, and this is very important, mothers, he does not expect you to raise perfect children. Woohoo! I don't see any hands. Woohoo! 1, 2, 3. God does not expect you to raise perfect children. But he wants to empower you to tell them and to show your children that they are worthy of love and belonging even though they are not perfect. God enables you to be content and not let comparison be the thief of your joy. Eleanor Roosevelt says that. Don't compare and let that steal your joy. Mothers, God loves you as a friend and God loves your internal beauty. Psalm 25, 14. And he made covenant with you. He calls you his bride, calls you his treasure, his pearl. Last time I preached to you that you are the pearl of God, and today I want to say you are the ruby of God. His ruby, a wife of noble character, who can find? You are worth more than rubies. Proverbs 31, 10. God honors you for your quiet and your gentle spirit. You say, oh, but I'm not noticed if I don't make any noise, if I'm not assertive, if I'm not out there, you know. But God sees your spirit. God sees you working quietly in the kitchen. God sees it. God sees it. He honors that. And he says he will praise you and he will honor you when you fear him, when you love him. He will honor you for all that your hands have done. Proverbs 31, 31. The Lord knows the efforts you put into your family. Maybe your husband might not notice. Maybe your children might not notice, but the Lord knows the efforts you put into your family. The sleepless nights. Mothers, we have dark rings not for nothing. Dark rings because we didn't sleep well. A bit sleep deprived. God notices the sore arms, your sore back from household chores. He notices them and he honors you and he will grant you new strength every day. And he will praise you in the open because in Proverbs 31, 31, it says, let her works bring her praise at the city gate. I want to say, mothers, you are God worthy. And your color palette brightens up. I'm going to just look at what we are doing. We have no agenda. We have nothing. Wow. Mothers, your color palette in life opens up, brightens up when God is in the picture. For he is your light and he is your companion in motherhood. Amen? Amen. The second point is this, that you are others worthy. You are God worthy and you are others worthy. Your worth is in your eyes for others. Mothers' eyes are full of other people. Your worth is in your eyes for others. In fact, I would say women always have eyes for others. Their worth is in their eyes for others. God makes mothers or women to be like artists who sees tiny components of which the world is made of. The petals of the flowers, the street lights, the lady's hand and her many rings. Mothers see the needs of the child, the wants of the child, the ups and downs of the child, the lies and the honesty of the child, the likes and dislikes of the child, the sleeping, waking rhythms of the child. The mother knows all these details because God wires mothers to be others worthy. They look to the welfare of other people, to care for the dignity and the value of people, particularly their children. Just like God. Do you know when you have taken care of your kid in a very fine and detailed way, you are like God. Because what did the Bible tells us about God? God cares for the world. God doesn't just care for the big global world. God cares for the sparrows. You don't notice them, God cares for them. God cares for the number of your hair on your heads. God cares for the glorious colors of the lilies. Lilies in so many colors. God cares for the glorious colors of the lilies and God cares for the welfare of the sick. So mothers, you are like God when you do that and you take care of your children. But you know, sometimes that can be misunderstood as being too soft, isn't it? Yeah, women, mothers, very soft, caring too much. Too compromising. Maybe some parts of it is true. So we got to learn. We got to learn to keep things in balance. But this ability to feel, to empathize, to care, to understand is the nurturing side of mothers that God wires into you. It is God's gift to you. Just like today, it is God's gift that we have got these three people here to paint for us never before. And then we have got Allison to go on the piano. It's a gift. Don't take it for granted. Always you only get me. These are gifts. We are together. The palette of a mother is full of colors. I heard this from Mark Twain on the radio or somewhere. He says, there's no such thing as an uninteresting life. Such a thing is an impossibility. Beneath the dullest exterior, there is a drama, a comedy, and a tragedy. How wise, Mark Twain. You know, family life plays out in a variety of ways. So much so that the mother's abilities are honed and harnessed, sometimes even tested, because they're so full of variety. So many things, so many seasons. So many stations in family life that calls out for the worth of the mother and the woman to be expressed. Even the emotional landscape of a woman is so varied. Have you seen a woman at her various emotions? She cries, then she laughs, then she hugs, then she kisses, then she pushes away, then she gets angry. And then she feed you again and again and again. Such an interesting life. You know, the palette of a mother consists of meeting family needs. And that's why in Proverbs 31:21, it says, when it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. Scarlet is a good color. Red. Red. Have we got red? Yeah, it's there. She's using scarlet. She's going really flowing with the spirit. Scarlet is a beautiful color. Scarlet symbolizes warmth, high quality care, protection, covering, wealth, prosperity. See, the mother has a way of preparing the family for a change of weather. Where it snows, she clothes her family in scarlet. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She provides food for family. Proverbs 31, verses 27 and 15. My own mother, age 87, was here recently with me for 1 month. She was with me. 8 o'clock, she will wake up in the morning. 87, she cooks for the entire family, plus my daughter's family in front. From 8 a.m., she prepares. Until 7 p.m., we finish all our washing. Then she plonks herself on the sofa and she sits there. I was demoted to assistant cook. Blessed am I. You know, household chores and cares, mothers, are never ending. On one hand, as you read Proverbs 31, that you don't eat the bread of idleness, don't be lazy, don't be slothful, don't eat the bread of idleness. On the other hand, you don't overwork, yeah? Because oftentimes, mothers feel really exhausted at the end of the day, and that's because her antennas are always up, looking for needs to fill and hearts to comfort. Mothers, can I suggest to you, you leave a lot of margin in your hectic life where you can recharge your energies. I was speaking to a man the other day and he uses a masculine word and I thought I'll release it to you. You must have circuit breakers. Don't flow and flow with the busyness of life and then you don't stop. No, have circuit breakers. Break at some point where you can have your moments of rest and recalibration. You take a break, you take a breather. Even Tesla needs recharging. Therefore, you do, mothers, and all of us, we need charging. Mothering is for the tough. Sometimes our children forget to praise us, and when you are running on empty, sometimes they may unfairly compare you with other moms, like, oh, the other mom cooks those things and does those things. And there are times when they don't talk to you. There are times when they talk back at you. And you wish they would talk to you. You know, we do it tough. So you need to have circuit breakers, huh, moms? Moms, are you hearing me? And children, are you here as well? Please praise your moms generously. Okay, because a happy mom makes the best food. Thank you, mothers, for meeting all the needs of the family. And then moms have career needs as well. For mothers who are holding on jobs, my salute to you for having the ability, the intelligence, the adaptability, the energy to juggle family and work. It's a great palette. Work and family is a great palette. If God gives it to you, that's amazing. God will equip you with His varied grace, His multicolored grace to deal with the job. Because in Proverbs 31, the woman considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets out her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable. Her lamb does not go out at night. She holds the staff and grasps spindle with her fingers. She makes linen garments and sells them. Supplies merchants with sashes. Proverbs 31. There is a time and season for work that is profitable. Some of you may choose not to work outside, and that's okay. Some of you are retired, and that's okay. Others of you are taking a gap year, or maybe a gap of many years, and that's okay. There's a time for everything. But I guess if you have got the opportunity to do paid work in the marketplace, you serve the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, your soul, and your strength. Remember, mothers, if you're having a hard time, it's not the bosses that you are serving, it is God you are serving. Don't be caught up with the nastiness of the work culture. Huh? Sometimes work has its pressure, it's nasty, you know, it's a lot of things there. But you know what you do? You do everything without arguing or grumbling so that you become blameless and pure and you shine like stars. Philippians 2:14. Mothers, wow. You are able to handle two great color palettes in your life. That's great. It's very enjoyable, huh? So good. Enjoy your work. But don't grumble. Don't argue. Okay? Do it. And if you want to argue and grumble, grumble before the Lord and says, Lord, I can't stand my colleague. Give me the grace. I can't stand my boss. Give me the ability to love him. And then another great palette that mothers have is having charity needs. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs 31:20, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. Just now we have heard about the My Vista outreach. You know what? It's beautiful to watch the compassion of Lynn and Tony and the team at the nursing home outreaches. Lynn at her guitar, Tony at the sound system, at the mics, and the team with their singing voices and their reading voices. And Lynn, I didn't ask you for permission, but I'm just saying this is my observation, right? And it's okay because everybody sees you anyway. Lynn is like a mother at the nursing home. She's like a mother who sings over them, and she sings over them with the team. And I look at the people there, they are quite motionless and quite expressionless because they are already in their sort of like in their stage of either dementia or things like this, some physical condition, and they are not able to respond. And Lynn would continue to minister song after song after song. And a young worker came afterwards to us to assure us. He says, you know, don't worry, even though they may look like they are not responding, they are actually listening to you guys. Thank you for coming to sing to us. You know, we are all busy people. We all need to carve out a chunk of time to do some things, and sometimes it can be really difficult. But some of the charity work you can do even in your neighborhood, even in your community, on a need basis. For example, you can extend your help in response to the needs around grocery shopping for people, cooking, laundry, child minding, gardening, transportation. You ask the Lord. He is so creative. If you say, Lord, I'm willing to do something for charity, I want to do some good works, I tell you what, He's the Lord of good works. He loves to assign you some tasks. I want to say this for those who are involved in charity work, you may not get the immediate response or the feedback from people, but continue doing it as unto the Lord, because He is the rewarder. Can I say this to you? Remember, we work not to feel worthy. And I'm speaking to everybody. We work for God not to feel worthy. Like, oh God, I'm working for you. Can you see I'm worthy of you, right? No, we work not to feel worthy. Whether we have a pat on the back or not, whether somebody comes and say, wow, good job or not, we still work. The reason why we can do that is because we work because we are worthy. You are worthy. That's why you work. It's an expression of your worthiness. You want to contribute to the well-being of other people. It's good to love others, I would say. Agree? But it's greater to love others as yourself, because that's the greatest commandment in Matthew 22:39. If you can love others as yourself, wow, the amount of work you're going to do, it'll be significant. So therefore, even though you may work for other people and you have your energy expended to a lot of areas, family, career, and charity, remember to take care of yourself. Amen? Do some painting. How's it going? Whoa. It's amazing, man. See, when we met at coffee the other day, we said, what are we going to draw? He says, we don't know. Let's just flow. This is flowing, you know, the colors of motherhood, huh? Wow. You know, Wellner specially bought these easels for you guys. No. So good, huh? I love the pink. Are those birds? Oh, freedom, huh? You know, was it 2 weeks ago when KG was up here for announcements? KG, where are you? I can't see you. Okay. Oh, KG, you are there. KG came up and he said, I feel some of us were something, something, something in prison, and then he used a word, cage. I just felt the freedom of God landed on the church, because I felt the freedom as well. A cage is no longer a cage when the door is open, yeah? I think we allow ourselves to be vulnerable, allow ourselves to think, wow, what is outside? Then God can bring to us the freedom, you know? So it's amazing that we are able to set our gifting free to serve the Lord. I don't know what will happen from here. It happened for me something when I was doing this, but it's good. You know, we have got prison doors. Hey, yeah, we have prison doors. I look at you. You look so good. But we all have prison doors that need to be opened. And God delights to come and open those doors so that we can express in however God wants us to have the abundant life, the rich life, the multicolored grace of God wants to land on us, descend on us, and bring beauty to the lives of other people as well as to ourselves. Alison, are you enjoying yourself? Huh? So good, huh? We gave Alison only 1 week notice. And we didn't even practice. We didn't even tune in. But Alison is willing. We are just willing. We are willing people. We want to ask, is it okay if I only do one art lesson? Can I still paint? I say, of course. Willing. Happy to give it a go. Mothers, it is essential for you as you care for so many people in your lives, because God is going to give you a lot of people in your lives, whether it's the community or your neighborhood or your own children. You will be so divested, so expended in your energy. You need to have self-care. You need to have healthy self-care. And I'm speaking to people who are also very busy. You've got no margin in your life, no circuit breakers. You need to have self-care, okay? We want to go the long mile. We want to go the great distance. Huh? How many of you want to go the distance? How many of you want to do that? Self-care. I pray that today, every mother here knows that you are enough. That's the greatest self-care. You are enough. You are worthy. And you can courageously say, like what Brené Brown, an author, says, here I am, this is who I am, I will show up and let myself be seen, I'm imperfect, but love and belonging are my birthrights. And Proverbs 31, woman demonstrates to us her self-worthiness, both externally and internally. We need both, externally and internally. Don't only concentrate on the internal and forget about your external. Was it Jim Carrey who says, everyone who says inner beauty is the only important thing is a very ugly woman? Oh, I never forget that movie. Not only internal beauty, God wants us to develop our external beauty, because externally, Proverbs 31 woman says in verse 22, she makes coverings for her bed. She makes coverings for her bed. She knows what she wants to sleep on. She knows how important sleep is to her and to her husband and to her children if they come once in a while to sleep. Not all the time, but once in a while they can come and sleep. Not all the time. Don't make your husband sleep in the storeroom and then your kids sleep on the best bed. Okay. Now, I'm just saying. She knows what she wants to sleep on. She takes care of her taste. She makes sure the fabric is comfortable, the right color, the thread count is good so that it's comfortable. Externally, she takes care of her clothing. She's clothed, the Bible says, in verse 22, clothed in fine linen and purple. Purple is a great color. It's in the color palette of motherhood. It's a color of wisdom, of royalty, of wealth, of dignity, of honor. It's the opposite of shabby or scruffy. Opposite. Dress your style. You don't have to dress in luxury goods to be looking good. Dress your style. If you can afford it, of course, go ahead and, you know, get clothes that you can afford. But it's not a necessity. Dress well. She's also dressed in fine linen. The Bible tells us white is the color of purity and righteousness. at the forum, remember I shared with you, we are both justified and we are sanctified. The mother in Proverbs 31 is both justified and sanctified to live the godly life, because she knows from day one of her salvation, she is already righteous because God justifies her. And then she has got God's continual ability and power to help her live a life that is clean and pure and white, all because of the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. She does not panic. She does not panic whether she's worthy or not. She knows she is worthy because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for her on day one of her salvation. Jesus justifies her and calls her perfect and righteous. She knows her identity. She won't be accused. She won't feel condemned. She can stand tall with Christ because Christ is her yardstick. I think there are two yardsticks in life you need to keep. The first yardstick you need to measure yourself against, if you really need to measure. I come from a society where I've got a measuring stick. I measure it as a child. I measure it as an adult. And then I became a teacher and I have more poor measuring sticks, because 40 children every year, a lot of measuring sticks. We all have measuring sticks, but if you need to measure, two yardsticks you can measure. One is you measure against yourself. You be the best version of yourself. You keep improving yourself as the Lord helps you. You are your own comparison. You compare yourself with yourself. You say, how is this possible? Ask the Spirit to help you. Lord, help me to compare myself with myself. The Lord will show you. You grow at your own pace. You compare yourself with yourself and be the best version of yourself. You want to make a dish? Don't compare with somebody, because somebody has got a lot of yardsticks. They have a lot of rules. You compare yourself with yourself. Today, I cook this dish. Not so good. Tomorrow, I try again. Not bad. 10 years later, expert in making that dish. You compare yourself with yourself. Okay? Okay or not? You don't measure your worth by the standard of other people, because you'll be confused, because there are many, many standards. And you don't measure your worth by the outcome of mothering, because your kids might go opposite direction of your plan. They're not yours to control. They may go opposite of what you really want for them. They love you, but they will not follow you sometimes. And you cannot measure your worth by how much your kids can follow you. There are many reasons for that, and it's unfair to heap blame on yourself, because it's not good self-care. And then you also measure yourself against the values God set for you. God is the best because He's very kind. He gives you really high, lofty goals, but He also helps you to achieve them. And by His power, He will transform you into His image, and He's kind and He's patient to let you change at His pace. And your self-worth comes internally. Because the Bible tells us in verse 25 of Proverbs 31, it says, she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come, and she speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Proverbs 31:26. She's full of hope because she allows God to tutor her mind. She's not afraid of the future. Her script in her mind is not dictated by the circumstances, but by the Lord, her God. She can laugh at uncertainty because she is certain that God takes care of her. We are living in very uncertain times. If your script is dictated by the times you are living, you are a sorry person, because you will go up and down, like a thermometer. But be a thermostat, stay still. Laugh at the days to come. A children's book that I was reading to my granddaughter the other day says it so well. It says, my heart doesn't stay sad like springtime after winter. The sun comes up again. My heart grows tall like a plant reaching towards the sky. This is when my heart is hopeful. There are seasons, things will change, tunnel will end. The tunnel will end. The sun will come out. Even if it's winter, the sun doesn't come out for many months in some countries, the sun will ultimately come out. There's an end. Wait for it. Be hopeful. When you think hopeful, you speak hopeful. Faithful instruction is on your tongue. You speak hopeful. That's wisdom. And it changes the whole atmosphere in the home and wherever you are. Mothers, your words are very powerful. Very, very powerful. I pray that you will release wisdom and hope into the years of your children. In conclusion, I would say we all have a blank canvas to play with every day. No, not literally, of course, we have canvases to play with, but we all have canvases, a new day, a new lease of life, new hours and minutes and seconds of a day. God give it to us. It's a gift. Huh? God give us the blank canvas to play with every day. And just as like our artist here today, with a blank canvas and fresh paints, I pray that you will live out what Eugene Peterson paraphrased Matthew 5:16 to be. He says, 5:16 to be, he says, you are here, mothers, you are here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. And I will add in your children. You are here, mothers. You are here, not by coincidence. You are here in Perth. You are here in GCC. You are here to be the light so that you can bring out the God colors in the world and also in your children. Remember, you are God worthy. You are others worthy. And you are self-worthy. God loves you so much. He replenishes colors on your palette of motherhood on a daily basis because His mercies are new every morning. Every morning God says, what kind of colors do you want? I can give them to you. Tubes and tubes and tubes of them. Like what we have today. So many beautiful colors. I pray that together with other mothers and together with other people in your lives that God has given to you, you will make marks in your world and you will leave fingerprints in people's lives. And I pray that you will live life to the fullest and the most colorful with your children as long as they are with you. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Oh God, you are so good, so kind, divinely kind to us. You look down on us and you say, we are worthy of your love. And we are worthy to love other people. And we are even worthy to love ourselves. We can actually love ourselves. Wow, Lord, who says that? We don't even say that to ourselves sometimes. We don't think we are worthy. But yet, Lord, you think we are worthy. Oh, dear Lord, we are serving a good God. I pray for mothers today. Mothers, picture your heart. Picture your heart. I don't know what condition your heart is. Picture your heart. If you can, maybe even go home and draw your heart out and see what kind of a heart you really see yourself having. I pray, Father, for that image of the heart that you have given to mothers today. Lord, if it is a heart that is empty, I pray that God, you will fill. Oh, fill strength, fill your colors. Fill your vitality, fill your abilities, fill your hope. Fill, oh Lord, fill that heart, oh God. If your heart is half empty, I pray, oh God, that you will give the other half, oh God, a good shake and add on your God colors to our mothers today. If yours is a full heart, I pray, oh Lord, use that heart, oh God, to bring God colors to people around and also to themselves and to the church and to the community. Father, I pray for mothers. The Lord, you will bless them and let your word ring really loud in their ears that they are worthy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.